It's time to rethink, renew, and reimagine retirement. Hey everybody, Jared Sebesta here, co-host of Retire Repurposed. Well, on today's show, we're going to continue to talk about time. Research shows a retiree's life pre- and post-retirement looks about the same. So how should retirees be utilizing the 8 hours given back to their day? Well, the very first hour of your day is one of the most important and crucial parts. Cultivating gratitude during this time not only sets the tone for the day, it benefits your mental, spiritual, even your physical health. In this podcast, Ben Tejas will give you two specific ways to cultivate gratitude during your morning routine, even if you struggled in the past with being thankful. Enjoy this episode. Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. Jared Sebesta here. We are so glad that you're joining us on Retire Repurpose. I've mentioned this to start the last several shows, but if you are new to our podcast, new to our show, yes, we're talking about retirement. Retirement's actually in the title, but I feel that we speak a different language on this show. There are so many options out there when it comes to retirement. Most of those revolved around the financial aspect, and there is certainly a time and a place to be talking about the financial aspect of retirement. We will do that on this show occasionally. We'll talk about financial concepts, but everything that we do here on the show will come back to your life and your life in retirement. How do you live with purpose in retirement? How do you have an impactful retirement? How do you have how do you live a life worth living, where you have a story and leave a legacy? You're going to hear much more about those concepts than you will the financial piece. So if that's what resonates with you, if that's what you're looking for, then you have certainly come to the right place. We have talked a lot about the last couple of shows about time. Our mantra is time, talent, and treasure. So we're going to spend several shows, again, just talking about time. A couple of shows ago, Ben talked about how time is equal to like a toilet paper roll, how at the beginning it starts to go slow, but as that toilet paper roll starts to get near the end, it starts to accelerate, and how lots of times people of retirement age say that, you know what, it seems like time is just going faster the older we get. So we just kind of dissected, why do people feel that way? What can we do to maybe combat that type of feeling? That was two shows ago. And then last week on the show, we talked about how are retirees actually spending their time. And we talked about a particular study that was done by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and they gave out some very startling concepts on how retirees are actually spending their time. Ben Tejas joins me on the show now. And Ben, there was a couple of kind of punched in the gut moments when it comes to this particular study. What was maybe one or two that stuck out for you last week?
Well, I think for me, it was the screen time. And I, you know, I've got a problem with that too, Jared. I mean, this is not stuff that we're experts on, but stuff that we see in people's lives and our retirees. And when we see that most of their freed up time ends up getting taken by television screens,
yeah,
that's a problem. So that was shocking to me. Mm-hmm. I think it was like almost 6 hours was spent in front of screens. So I think that was one. And then the other one was certainly learning, right? I mean, I think almost no time was spent learning. Mm-hmm. And for the average retiree, that's a problem.
Yeah, for sure. The study really talked about how there really isn't a massive change in the life of a retiree pre- and post-retirement, meaning, you know, the world says as soon as you retire, all of a sudden, bam, it's endless vacations. It's, you know, you're going on cruises every other week and you're traveling the world. And some people may do some of that. But the reality is, this is the reality, and data backs us up on this. And your experience, Ben, I think would back us up on this as well. There really isn't a real significant change. The biggest change is that you get 8 hours back in your day. What you do with that is really the bigger part of this conversation, right?
Yeah. I mean, you and I have talked about that before, Jared, just off air. It's like, you know, I watch these retirement brochures, and they almost always show retirees with their feet in the sand, and they're relaxing, or they're maybe learning some cool new hobby. Mm-hmm. Well, travel was a fraction. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking minutes of those hours that were given back actually in somebody's life in retirement.
Yeah.
And learning new things is even less than that.
Right.
So if we're portraying this is what retirement's going to look like, And then people get into retirement and it doesn't look anything like that. Of course, people will be let down by retirement.
Yeah, this study actually said that out of those 8 hours given back, almost 6 hours was spent just sitting in front of a television. Some time was put into socializing and little to no time was spent travel. In fact, it was negligible on learning. That was the big one for me, where literally no time was spent out of the excess in time given back to retirees actually spent growing and learning. That's a problem. If you want to go back and listen to that show, we break down this study and talk about all the concepts and some of the things that stuck out to us in greater detail. So I encourage you to go back and listen to that show. So today we're going to talk about what should you be doing with your time. All right. So last week we actually broke down what are retirees doing with their time. So let's kind of make it a little bit more tactical on today's show and the shows ahead. So what should you be spending your time? Ben, we're going to spend a lot of time just talking about the start of your day. Let's talk about that right off the bat. We're not suggesting you do a complete rehaul of your life. You know, I think that that's probably a bad way to look at it. So like, let's just talk about the start. How important is this start to every single day?
Well, it starts everything, right? And we know that. And I am highly convicted right now, Jared, because my wife and I literally, like this week, we're having conversations. She's like, Ben, you have to get a better consistent routine to when you're getting up and what you're doing. I'm like, yeah, I know. This is what I tell people, you know, on the show. And this is what I'm trying to get retirees to do. So I get it. It is not easy. So knowing that it's hard, I can tell you it's worth it, right? When you can get into that just intentional start to your day and not just let your day get away from you right in the beginning, that is huge.
Yeah. We're going to talk a lot about the importance of that first hour, but I think this goes back to the idea of healthy habits. I think in this world of, you know, personal development, there's a lot of stuff out there. I think, you know, when we were young, Ben, there was like one guy, maybe two, you know, people talking about personal development. It was like Jim Rohn and Tony Robbins. And now, you know, everybody's talking about this online. But a consistent thing that they keep talking about, James Clear mentioned it in his book, Healthy Habits. It's really just little wins, like little votes. This is such an easy one. Like if you can just figure out that first part of your day, like this is an easy, like, I shouldn't say easy, but like a huge win for the rest of the day and maybe the rest of your week.
Yeah. And I was going to mention James Clear as well. I mean, he said, and this is not a direct quote, but something along the lines of habits are the compound interest of self-improvement, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the financial side of our business, it's, you know, hey, compound interest and saving over long periods of time is very important. So what comes from that can be a financial plan that works, right? It's, it's you slowly put things away so that the compound interest adds up. Same thing with habits, right? Mm-hmm. James Clear talks about that very clearly, is like every little habit you're putting in place over time adds up to some big change in your life. And that's what we're after with retirees. It starts, if you do nothing else from today but start every morning with routine, I know it'll make a difference for you.
There's a lot of famous quotes or stories out there, but this whole adage of eating an elephant. How do you eat an elephant? Well, with one little bite. This whole morning routine really comes down to that. I think that there's something to be said too. When you make healthy habits, it actually starts to change your identity. You start to view yourself differently. And that's what we're trying to do. We're not trying to, again, to have you rehaul your life or do something just to check a box. It's really like, if you can do this, you're going to become more of this person. So I think that that's really important. Let's just talk about positive thinking. Like, again, as you start your day, you know, this really just kind of, I don't want to say sets the tone, but it really does. And there's psychology that almost kind of goes back and reinforces that fact, right?
Yeah, Jared, I think there's something to those first thoughts of the day, right? I mean, the Bible talks about, you know, take every thought captive. And I'm a believer that, like, if you can start right away in the morning, just making sure your mind is thinking positively, that'll make a huge difference throughout the rest of your day.
Yeah, 100%. So we're going to get into kind of the nuts and bolts of today's show. And so again, the overarching theme here today is really, how do you start a day? But Ben, when it comes down to it, the main thing I want to talk about is one particular piece of the puzzle. And that is what?
We'll start today with gratitude, right, Jared? I think when we get started in the right headspace in the morning with being grateful for what we've given, you can overcome a whole host of negative things throughout the rest of that day. So start every day with gratitude.
I this is where I'm going to interject a little bit of personal testimony here. You know, you've known me, Ben, for like a decade now, and we've talked about a lot about this, but I don't know if it's because of my personality, perhaps upbringing, whatever, but like my baseline emotion, like I just not wired or what have you to gratitude. There are some people where gratitude just comes really, really easy. They're just kind of always outpouring gratitude. I don't know if that was something that they were just born with or something they've developed. But I'll tell you, that has never been a strong point for me. And I really was challenged last summer where I think I went to a conference or heard a speaker at one time, but he was talking a lot about this morning routine and you know, starting the day with, you know, prayer, meditation, gratitude. And so I actually did it. I'll be darned. Somebody asked me to do something and I actually did it. And so starting last summer, I go for a walk every morning because I've started becoming kind of more of an early riser. So what I do during that walk, and I've mentioned this on the show before, is I try to just initiate gratitude, positive thoughts, think about my day, almost just kind of amp myself up for the day in a positive way. I know for me, this is just me talking, if there was ever a low point mentally for me, it's in the morning. You know, we also live in the upper Midwest where it's winter half the year and it's dark, you know, and that just doesn't bode well for me and my personality. So this has been a great addition to my morning routine. And if my wife was here, I guarantee you, I said, have you experienced a difference in my overall mentality, optimism, positivity, overall countenance since I've done that? And she would say 100% yes. So I think it goes back to this whole adage of there is really something to this thing.
Yeah, there is, Jared. I think maybe you can tell me, what about the hard thing that's coming later that day, mm-hmm. right? When you get into that spot, when you start to feel either your headspace is going backwards or more negative, mm-hmm. or there's a challenge in front of you,
yeah.
when you draw back on, right, the way your day started makes a difference,
right? 100%, yeah. And again, a lot of people may look at that as Bible time, quiet time, meditation. It's all kind of falling under the same heading, but you know, not picking up a screen, not turning on the news, not wishing you were still in bed and just filling your head with negative thoughts. Yeah, it totally does set the tone for the day. There's science behind this, and again, I don't have it quoted, but like it literally reprograms almost the synapses in your brain to fire differently when you do this. Now, here's the thing, and I know a lot of people are thinking this. That's just not me. I'm not cheery Joe in the morning. Join the club. Neither am I. But again, I've had to kind of force myself into this pattern. And by golly, you know, 6, 7, 8 months later, now it's just second nature. Now it's just kind of what I do. Now it's just kind of part of me where it's not, I don't have to like try to do it. It's become a routine. I think that it goes back to the whole identity piece as well.
Yeah. Have you become a morning person? Would you see yourself
Absolutely.
Now as a morning person?
Absolutely. Yeah. Exactly.
Whereas 6 months or a year ago, yeah. you'd say not at all.
Yeah. And if I miss that morning walk, it's totally, for whatever reason, we have a new baby at home. So there have been times where baby's up a lot at night and that morning routine doesn't happen. It's not very often, but holy cow, buckle up. If I don't get that kind of at least a little bit of time to have to myself to kind of intentionally reflect, not scope my phone, but intentionally reflect and be thankful for what I have. Ben, your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I totally agree, Jared. I think going back to, you know, the opening of the show about taking every thought captive, I believe that you know, even in my own life, I've seen that where if I am not careful, if I allow, you know, the outside world's negativity, if I allow just, you know, my own personal circumstance to start to, you know, get thinking negative, mm-hmm. right away, the rest of the day follows. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like if you're looking for negativity,
you'll find it.
You will find it yeah. in every single one of your interactions all day.
Yeah.
So you're moving along the day and you start to think negative. Well, I bet that guy thought that about me. Or I think, mm-hmm. you know, this person, you assume the worst when you get in that mindset versus when you're a positive person starting right from your morning, the day looks positive and you will find more positive things. You will have more positive interactions with people. Mm-hmm. They will see you as a positive person and positivity will come from that. So yeah. when we start right with that positivity, the rest of the day will follow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I could not agree more. There's such a mental shift that happens when you can just force yourself at least into some positivity that does just set the tone for the rest of the day. So we want to spend the rest of our show giving people ways that they can actually cultivate. How do you actually do this? We're going to give you two ways where you can tactically start to pull this off. Ben, what's number one?
Well, it starts just being mindful of just what we were just talking about, right? We have to be mindful of when the negative comes into our thought pattern, mm-hmm. right? So it's, again, taking captive every thought,
yeah.
making sure that when we're starting to go down that road,
yeah.
we turn it and we say, no, here's the positivity. Here's what's good in my life, mm-hmm. right? Here's all the things I'd be thankful for. And the shift starts there.
I think people really need to understand that the Bible doesn't say control every thought, right? It doesn't say control every thought. It says take every thought captive. And I heard a speaker say this once. He said, you are not your thoughts. And you really can't control your thoughts. Okay, so like, let's just hit the brakes on that concept right there. I think people think because they're Christians, and again, I subscribe to the Christian camp. I'm a Christian myself. Like, if we happen to have a negative thought or even a dark thought, like, it's like we take this on as there's something wrong with us. We're not. We have a mind that is more complex than any computer on planet Earth. And sometimes thoughts come in. And so the Bible doesn't say control every thought. It says take every thought captive. That was actually really big for me when I was able to separate those two, because I would have dark thoughts or negative talk, you know, negative self-talk or whatever. But I actually have a choice to be able to take that thought captive, and I can release it, get rid of it, ignore it, be like, yeah, it is what it is. You know, I think that there was times in my life where those thoughts came in and I would sit and stir on them and let them marinate and get in there. And now I'm much better at just doing what the Bible says, where I take those captive and the good ones I keep and the bad ones I release them, or I reframe them to serve me in some way, shape, or form. That's a huge concept people need to understand.
They do, and they have to stop apologizing for the way they feel. Mm-hmm. I mean, that you feel the way you feel. The thoughts that are in your head are there, mm-hmm. okay? You do not necessarily control that, but you do. You can frame it
sure.
differently, right?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I've seen a counselor at times, Jared, in the past, and would recommend that to anybody who's having trouble, like, thinking through some of these things. Go talk to somebody, because I can remember very, very clearly at one point in my past when I was pretty deep in dark depression. And it was to the kind that, you know, once you start going down the road, it gets pretty dark and like, what's next? And you start to feel as if things are worthless and you get in that mode. And I remember specifically saying to this counselor, I said, why do I feel this way? I shouldn't feel this way.
Right.
And I was, again, apologizing to him mm-hmm. because I have so many good things in my life,
right.
but I kept going back to the negative. And he made the same type of comment. It was like, well, you can't control, mm-hmm. right? You can't just get rid of those thoughts. It's how you deal with them.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's why quiet time is so important. Prayer, meditation, where we let our brain and our mind just have those thoughts. But again, it's creating that space and understanding that your thoughts aren't you. And you can separate those, and that's a huge concept that I hope a lot of people take into account, because so many times we can be our own worst enemy in our own life. So yes, be mindful. That's step number one. Ben, what's step number two?
Well, I think everybody should journal, but specifically what should be in that journal is some part of gratitude, right? So I love journaling just because it helps people like not have every day run into the next, right? That's a huge thing for retirees. We're always trying to remind them of, hey, don't make every day look the same,
yeah.
right? And take control of your days back, because remember, your work gave you that control. It, mm-hmm. it allowed you to separate Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, and it was, this is my boundaries or my guardrails, like we like to say. Mm-hmm. But a simple journal allows you to gain some of that back, where you're writing the date down,
sure.
number one, and then you're beginning to implement certain things in that journal. And one of the most important ones that I will have personally try to write down, I recommend people to write down as well, is something that you're thankful for that day.
Let's keep rolling on that for just a little bit, because again, journaling is such a general term. It could mean a number of things. So let's talk to those people who, you know, maybe aren't huge journalers, or maybe they don't journal in the morning, and maybe they don't have a gratitude journal. Give people a little bit more, you know, some more tips or tricks or things that they should or could be writing down in the morning to kind of create this mental space.
Well, Jerry, you're going to start by, you know, really trying to write down as many things positive that you're grateful for that you can, right? Even just make a list right away. I think recognizing too, looking at even the more negative things and trying to pull something positive out of each of them. It's hard, right? And sometimes we don't see the positive until months later. But you know what's cool is when you get into this habit and you look back at your journal about even the negative things going on in your life, you can then connect the dots because God might be doing something really positive in your life, but it feels like a negative while you're going through it.
Yeah, it's easy to take inventory of the things that are going well, but you know, can you start to write down and be thankful for the things that even aren't going well? I just heard recently a video or something like that. It was from somebody. I should come to these shows better prepared, but it was basically talking about characteristics of very successful people, high achievers. They always found the positive in every situation. Even when bad things happened, there was a setback in their business, they lost money, they always, not only did they always find the positive, they did it very quickly. It wasn't this thing that broke them down for long periods of time. It may have been a bad moment or a bad day, but it wasn't these things that drug out into days, weeks, months, and years. They were able to very quickly take even the struggles of their life and always reframe those quickly and repetitively. What a phenomenal advantage you have when you can do that. My mentality, I've had to learn that more. I'm getting better at that. But again, because of my baseline, this has been something that I've had to habitually work on. But again, going back to this whole idea, when you do it each and every day, even the days you don't feel like it, it starts to become more of a habit and more of an identity. What are some other things that people can do to kind of either write down or acknowledge in their morning journal?
I would say make a list of your personal strengths. Yeah, we can talk about weaknesses, and that's fine. And I think people need to be aware of those. But start with the strengths. Mm-hmm. It's so much more fun, right? I mean, every retiree out there and everybody listening to this show has some strengths. Now, society might be telling you, and that's one of the problems I think that retirees face is like, oh, you're past your prime, you're aged, you know, you fill in the blank of all the things you cannot do. Mm-hmm. Make a list of things you can do, right? There are so many people that have done amazing things after the, you know, theoretical 65 retirement date, right? You can go through history and just look at the amazing things people accomplish. So start with, you know, a list of strengths.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk about yourself. Give yourself a little attaboy. Talk about things that are coming up. You know, we always talk about having something to look forward to on your calendar, right?
Yeah, Jared, I mean, I think it's fun to both look forward, important to look forward to some kind of an event, but you can write that down. Like, again, taking the thought captive is writing, I am so looking forward to blank by the end of this month, and this by the end of the quarter, and this by the end of the year. So again, writing that specifically down will make a much higher chance that that event and that thing you're going to look forward to actually ends up being a positive thing in your life.
You could also take a look back and say, maybe you just got back from a trip a week or two ago. And I think that you can repeat these. It's not like, oh, yesterday I mentioned the great weekend I had with my family. Mention it again. That's the beauty in memories too. They pay dividends. We've mentioned that on the show, how memory dividends over time keep paying back. And that's a great way to kind of, again, get back into this idea of gratitude.
Yeah. And Jared, most of those events include people.
Right.
And we know that it's the who in your life that's most important, right? So specifically by name, call out who you are thankful for. Mm-hmm. Yes, what you've done and these things together with them, but who you're thankful for and why, mm-hmm. right? Because then, guess what? You're going to start seeing the positive more in those people because, again, you're looking for the positive.
You might be going through something trying. This would be a great time to maybe, you know, just allow your brain to think and connect with God. Maybe he's going to reveal some ways to turn this thing around, right?
Yeah, I think when you're in this space of writing people's names down, this is something I love my wife for. She's so good at journaling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've struggled in this area, but she's phenomenal. I'll see my name. Mm-hmm. And you want to be impacted in a big way is see your spouse writing your name down on her journal and saying, this is what I'm praying for. Mm-hmm. And I think the Holy Spirit speaks in those times. It's like, this is what my husband needs. This is what my wife needs. This is what my grandchildren need. This is what my community needs. Whoever you write down as people that you're most thankful for and grateful for, say a prayer for them at the same time, right? Think through how you could maybe make a difference in their life, right? And I think that's where it starts. Mm-hmm.
We got about 30 seconds left here. Let's talk about the other side of this coin. Next week, we're going to talk about how to utilize some of these strategies to end our day. Ben, same story. The start is so important, but the end is important as well.
Yeah, I mean, we had a guest on a while back talk about bookending their days, and it was like, you know, hey, there's got to be a beginning and an end, and certain things got to be in the beginning and the end. And I'm looking forward to next week's show because, again, I'm more of a night person, Jared. I think sometimes I do the same thing. I start my day not the right. Sometimes I can feel it. Same way when I end my day in front of a screen, or I kind of fall off into this mode of, yeah, I'm just going to watch a quick show and then go to bed. I think that is almost worse than not starting it in the right way.
Securities offered through Avantax Investment Services, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Avantax Advisory Services. Insurance services offered through an Avantax-affiliated insurance agency.
It's time to rethink, renew, and reimagine retirement. Hey, everybody. Jared Sebesta here, host of Retire Repurposed. Now, this podcast is about the non-financial parts of retirement, which many times can be even more challenging than the financial. We believe retirement is not the end, rather the beginning of what could be the most impactful, purposeful, and fulfilling season of a person's life. So don't retire. Become repurposed. To listen now, search Retire Repurposed on your favorite podcast platform, Senior Resource, or Life Audio.